Amen. Amen. I feel that we're to minister to people from the word go. And the passage that the Lord was highlighting me is a bit where I finished off yesterday in the area of Zechariah, where Joshua the high priest was brought before the Lord and his garments were soiled. Now, coming this morning just into the prayer ministry team, I had a feeling in my own heart, you know, just some of the things that were shared last night, that, Lord, my garments are soiled. Do you know what I mean? How many know you can do that by your own choice and your own attitude of your heart? How many know when Matt went through the list, we just about got all of them? But I feel the Lord would like those who perhaps were like me this morning, woke up in a sense that their garments, although I would love them to be white and radiant and without stain, perhaps don't feel that they're actually in that place right now. If that's you, I'd like you just to stand. I'd like you just to lift your hands to the Lord, and I feel the Lord wanted me to do something, and just to in prayer. And Lord, we thank you that you rebuke the enemy. And Lord, I'd like you folks just to confess out your sins to God. The Bible says that the blood cleanses us of all sins. So I'd like you just to confess the sins that God's been speaking to you and pinpointed in your heart. Just speak them out loud if you can. It might be a bit embarrassing, but you speak them out. Often there's a place where that open repentance, open confession, allows the Lord to come. So Lord, begin to wash over them. Let the sin and the stain of some of our own choices, some of the things that are in our heart, judgments, criticisms, Lord, anger, unforgiveness, resentment, all forms of different sins of the flesh and the mind and the spirit that defile us. Lord, have mercy upon us. Lord, we want to stand before you. We want to stand in your presence. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just allow him to wash over you. It says in Zechariah 13, in that day a fountain will be opened for the house of David and for the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and impurity. And it will come about in that day, declares the Lord of hosts, I'll cut off the names of the idols in the land, and they'll no longer be remembered, and I'll remove the prophets and the unclean spirit from the land. So Lord, I thank you that you can place on them now fresh garments. The angel of the Lord will begin to clothe you in garments of light. That he will rejoice over you. That he himself would sing songs of love over you. That you have free access. That your garments have been washed clean by the blood of the Lamb. That you now have pure white garments, pure raiment. That you can stand there in this sanctuary, in the house of the Lord, in the Holy of Holies, knowing that you are forgiven, that you are cleansed. In Jesus' precious name. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Please feel free to be seated. How many sense that we can be clean again? No. Receive that. It's interesting, in the scripture it goes on in Zechariah, it says that in verse 6, and one will say to him, what are these wounds between your arms? Then he will say, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man, my associate, against the Lord of hosts. declares the Lord of hosts. Strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. And I'll turn my hand against the little ones. It'll come about that in all the land, declares the Lord, two parts of it will be cut off and perish, but the third will be left in it. And I'll bring the third part through the fire. Refine them as silver is refined. Test them as gold is tested. They will call upon my name, and I will answer them. I will say, these are my people, and they will say, the Lord is my God. Now there is coming, whether we like it or not, a sword of the Spirit. And some things are going to be cut off. And there's a refining fire. And there's going to be a shepherd of their men's souls who will cry out, the Lord is my shepherd. He's going to say, these are my people. And that fountain is a fountain of cleansing. That's a fountain that was purifying. It's a fountain that's going to be opened up. We're asking for wells to be opened up. Well, it's going to remove false prophets. It's going to remove impurity. It's going to remove stuff that is not going to be tolerated anymore by the Lord, because he is coming for a holy bride. I know in my own life, the last few years, I thought, my gosh, am I going to make it? I'm being real genuine. Am I going to make it? Because the Lord's dealing. This gets in so deep and so right to the core of who you are. Right to the actual fabric of who you are. And you think you've arrived. I thought I'd arrived a few years ago. My gosh, I arrived nowhere. I was wondering whether I was saved in the last few years. I was really, really, really wondering. But like Job, he came through still worshipping the Lord. Even his own wife turned to him and said, curse God. Lost everything. And yet the Lord in the midst of it was preparing him for a double blessing. And a mantle, a blessing that would reach out and touch hearts. Joseph, absolute traumatic stuff, gets the word of the Lord, ends up in the pit. Still keeps his heart right, and after years becomes the deliverer of Israel. But I tell you what, he went through it to get there. The preparation for the Lord to use you is extraordinary. And his leaders, he will take through the ancient pathways, the ways that he will not tolerate stuff that everyone else can be tolerated with. He will not tolerate it. Others, he seems to be incredibly gracious and almost overlooks it. But I tell you what, the many of them are not going, whether you like it or not, through the ancient ways. And there's a depth in the heart of God which is crying out for reality. Real, real stuff. It's not critical, it's not judgmental, it is the absolute truth of God which purifies, that cuts like a sword, that goes deep into the fabric of your heart, and you literally die but you come to life. You find who you really are in Christ through death to self, death to ambition, death to any ministry, death to anything you've ever got. And that is the ancient way, that you will have the revelation of God, but the preparation for that is so diabolic. In some ways, it's the way of the cross. And you're going to need a lot of the blood of Jesus over your life to make it. And you're going to need so much grace to come through the other end. And hopefully you are still pure gold and silver and not some messed up, bitter, twisted Christian that still loves God. Who have I beside you in all the earth, creator of heaven? There's no one apart from you. There's no one. To live as Christ, to die as gain. I'd rather be dead than be with the Lord than to be, unless, you know what I mean, unless God's called you to be here. You don't want to be here in this planet. So it's the whole area of the wilderness. Just what you wanted to hear, didn't you? Full of the Spirit into the wilderness. Luke chapter 4. Jesus was baptized in the fullness of the Spirit. In the fullness of the Spirit, he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tested by who? Satan. And he came out in Luke, what is it, 4, off the top of my head, 16 or something. Don't put it up there. 18. In the power of the Spirit. Yeah. His was only 40 days. How many feel like 40 years? Through the wilderness. One of the most helpful teachings I ever had, and you're going to have Jill up here soon, was the potter on the potter's wheel. Some of you may have heard it, some of you may not, but this is not mine. This is directly from a prophetess of the Lord, Jill. And it helped me a number of years ago, and I want to just feel to share it again. It's the clay being put on. Jeremiah said, and I went down and I saw the potter in the potter's house. And he had a clay vessel on the wheel. As that clay is centered, it becomes very wobbly, you know what I mean? And with his loving hands, the master potter began to, with water of the Spirit and the hands of Almighty God, began to form a clump of nothing but soggy clay into a vessel. As he began to form it, of course, he put his hands deep into that clay vessel, and the walls were beginning to be lifted up again. The walls of the lives of broken people were beginning to be rebuilt. The hand of God was going deep into the heart of hearts, right into the core of that vessel. He was reaching down again. When he comes deep inside and starts to rebuild broken walls and broken lives, you feel the tenderness of his hands. The smoothness, the softness, the living waters, the your life might be spinning, but you're still in the hands of God. Yeah. You don't fully understand what's going on, but God's still on you. He's touching you. He's molding you. He's shaping you. He is intimately focused upon you. Then the wheel of the potter stops. Suddenly a big piece of wire comes out and you feel cut off from the base. Then you're picked up and lifted and put on a shelf. And then all you do from then on is absorb other people on the wheel. And you're sitting up on a shelf drying out with a bunch of other vessels. What happened to the water? What happened to the hand of God? What happened to the manifest presence? What happened to the master's touch? How come I'm sitting up here on a shelf drying out? How come I'm not being used? How come I'm just observing everyone else being touched? How many have sat on the shelf for quite a while? Well, guess what? You'll be going places soon. And suddenly the master potter comes up to the shelf and goes, oh, the pots are sufficiently dry. I think I'll put them onto a moving, we'll move them somewhere. So he puts them onto trays and begins to move them. Think, oh, this is fabulous. We are moving in God, our destiny, our purpose, the plan, the absolute heart of God, the prophetic word. It's going to be fulfilled. And he takes you into a room. Look at all these other vessels. We're all together. Isn't it absolutely awesome? Then he shuts the door. It gets awfully dark very quickly. And someone says, can I smell smoke? I heard someone talk about the fire. Catch the fire, refine. My dear God, that smoke actually is getting a bit too close. In fact, it feels very warm in here. I feel this liquid heat coming from my neck and pouring down my spine. My feet are starting to get a little bit hot. Praise God, I have got the fire. I'm on fire. The trouble is, it's me. And then suddenly in the dark, you're thinking, this is getting suffocating. I can't breathe. Next minute, bam, something blew up. I think it was the person next to me. They forgot to tell me that clay with impurities actually explodes in the kiln. And suddenly a shaft of light comes through, little light, and you can see an eye. It looks like the eye of God. And it closes and it gets a bit hotter. The fire hasn't got hot enough yet. Then eventually the door opens, fresh air, light. And you come out of the fire and realize how many didn't make it. Ones who had once walked with you in the house of the Lord. Ones who had started the race and not finished. Ones who had disqualified and blown up. But you know what the Master's doing? Picking their broken pieces up, taking a big rock and starting to crush them back down and stick them back in the liquid so that they can become clay again. Because he goes out onto the potter's field looking for the broken, cracked pots and vessels that didn't make it and blew up. And the rest of you think, oh my gosh, I didn't notice, I'm just some big fat bowl, and there's a beautiful looking, look at that, lovely look. How come God made me to look like this? And then we start comparing ourselves with the different bowls and the different vessels that God's made. Oh my God, how come I'm just this big fat looking thing, and there's this beautiful dainty little thing over here? Well, guess what? That might be the fact that they are just like, you know what I mean, that little fragrance that was broken, one job, that's all it is, a fragrance that's broken and poured out over the feet of Jesus. You might have been the bowl that washes the feet of Christ. Every vessel having different roles. And then there's paint put on, different things put on. And guess what? Then he wheels you back in. That was the first firing. He's just glazed you. Because if he was to pour water through a dry vessel, it would just leak all out, wouldn't it? But if he was actually going to fire us and prepare us that we'd be vessels of honor, fit for the Master's use, then potentially something might actually happen out of our lives that actually has some significance, that we could be vessels in the house of the Lord with different assignments, different functions, different jobs, working for the Master. He could fill us up with oil, fill us up with spices, fill us up with living water, fill us up with different anointings that we could be used as the mosaic of who God has for us, bringing the presence of God out to the nations. I had a friend of mine, and I said to him, what are you seeing? He's a farmer in New Zealand. He saw this man, and off his ankle, he had this chain. And going back was this massive chains, big massive chains, going back. Just one chain, but it was huge links. And I said, what was it attached to? He said, it was like a huge collar, and I saw a 15-foot saltwater crocodile. And I said, what was God telling you? He said the crocodile represents the man's ministry. That before he can eat, he must feed the crocodile or the crocodile will eat him. And he's dragging this thing around after him. Things are going to change.
Hallelujah!
Praise God, I got one person. We must decrease. He must increase. None of the spirit fit people I know want to be Jonas. And I felt like it numbers of times. But guess what? You run away from what's coming, you're going to end up back on the beach anyhow. You're going to spit you back up there. It's got nothing to do with age. It's zero. The Spirit will fall upon the young and the old. And it'll be a latter aim with the former aim. So you've got the double blessing there. Latter and former coming to the body. It's exciting stuff. And I just had I'm just going to try and balance some of all this out because you've just been in the fire and been through the wilderness and the testings. And this is the whole crux of the preparation for the Lord's servants. Take up your cross. Deny yourself. Deny yourself. And many of us are unwilling to deny ourselves. And whether you like it or not, the ancient ways, it will cost you everything. There is a price, whether you believe it or not, want to listen to it. It's not the prosperity teaching. There is a price behind the anointing. You know what the price is? You. Your comfort zone, your pride, your arrogance, your you and I and me and my ministry and myself and my name and whatever the heck you've got. I really don't give a rip. God doesn't look at any of that. He looks at you. He looks at you. And if anything remains, it's a miracle. If you bring anything through, you just thank God, that's grace. If you bear any fruit, it's because you actually abided in Him. If you take any of the honor and glory for any of the healings and miracles, then you've lost them anyhow. Where did I go there? I better shut up and move over this way a little bit here. So here, gosh, sometimes, Lord, I tell you. Do you know God cries over some of this stuff? He weeps. He weeps. He loves his kids having gifts and toys and opening them up and moving them. But you know who really, really is more interested? You know his parents are more interested not in the toys, the gifts. I'm sorry. They want their child to come up and just love them. And just love them. And be held by them. And one of the greatest things is when a child comes up, when my kids come up and say, Dad, I love you. Every night when I put the kids to bed, Michael, it's amazing, every night he says, Daddy, I love you. The other girls, they remember that sometimes, but you know. But girls often I have to tell, I love you. I love you. Often I found women need much more loving, loving, loving. The Bible says husbands love your wives. And I haven't done very good at that, you know what I mean? But I'm trying to learn. Because some of us haven't been loved ourselves very well, you know what I mean? So it's difficult for us to get there. So God's wanting his children to love him. Not for the gifts that he can give you. He wants you just to love him. Whether you get a gift or not. Because it's danger if you look at one's got 10 gifts, you've only got one, you start comparing and getting jealous. Much is given, much is required. You thank God you only got one. You rejoice in that. Because if you got 10, you're going to have to do something stupid like me. Incur more judgment. The older I get, the less I think I know. My head's getting filled up with more knowledge, but sometimes I think the greatest thing I've got to know is the intimacy of the love of God in me. Resting in that love and acceptance. Resting in that. Out of that comes revelation. Out of that comes ministry. Out of that comes God does something in spite of you. The heart is the wellspring of life. Out of the heart comes the living waters. Out of the revelation of the heart of God, out of the presence of God, miracles come to us. And our spirit body stands into it. You understand? And our spiritual man stands in God. And that's when our physical bodies often join that in miracles. I'd like to just go, I feel the Lord just reminding me, just to go and talk about a bit more of heaven. I love. Heaven's my home. Kingdom of heaven. Jesus said, I'm not from this world. Jesus said, I am in the world, but not from this world. You know what I mean? My kingdom is not of this world. So if you can grab that revelation into your spirit, you'll start to live in a realm where your mind and heart is focused upon the kingdom of heaven. Then guess what? You can go there. In the spirit, in your mind, I don't really care where you go as long as you go there. Whether it's in my body, out of my body, well, God knows. Let's just go there. Can argue the toss about this, that, and the next. Let's go there. And where is it? It's here. Kingdom of God is within me. So the veil is so close, it's here. It's like a parallel universe living and coexisting within this kingdom. So the angelic hosts are here. Ministering angels are here. The light of heaven is here. All you have to do is actually step into that. How? From your heart. The key is a heart of love and humility towards God. Open the doors of my heart. The Lord stands at the door and knocks. Open. So over the years, different things, I'm just going to share some of them. The Lord took me when I was first saved, I was in the church and worshipping God and the presence of God was there, and I looked behind where the pulpit was and it just turned into the new earth. Fields, pastures, which I'd seen when I'd actually physically died and left my body and stood before the Lord. I stood on the doorway and Jesus said, I am the door of life. And he had stepped aside. It's not pearly gates. The pearly gates are talking about the New Jerusalem. The Bible says that only through Jesus, he is the door, only through him can man come in. He knows them and calls them by name. He knows them. No darkness can enter through that light. Say it's a thief and robber try and come up by another way, but unable to, because that light, that there's only one way in, and he is the door of light. No darkness, no one can enter through that, because they will not realize that there is an opening directly behind him, because unless he steps aside, you cannot see it. And as he steps aside, I had seen it, but I'd not gone in. Now I'm standing in this church, seeing the back of the entire church appear as a new earth in the building. So I'm walking forward in amazement, looking at it. Next minute, I got so far down the aisle, the presence of God overwhelmed me. My physical body just went wham onto the ground, but I was still standing. Ain't stopping here, you know what I mean? So I just kept walking, and the next minute, I'm in the fields. As I stepped on the grass, it would spring back. I thought, that's incredible. The light that was upon Jesus of the radiance of the glory was upon the creation. You realize the whole of creation? The whole of creation is crying out for revelation of the sons of God. The whole of creation. There's life in every part of the creation. No sickness, no death, even in the parsh, even in the created stuff of heaven and the heavenly realm. It's alive, shimmering with life. I stepped on it and it literally just sprang back. It's as though you hadn't stepped on it, in a sense. You know what I mean? I continued to walk and I went through these fields and I looked down by the river. I could see Jesus lying there in his radiant garments of light. And we'd sang a song, "Come to the river. You know, water, stand by my side. I know you are thirsty. You'll not be denied." I felt every teardrop. And darkness you cry. You know what I mean? And I felt myself being drawn down. And I laid down beside the Lord. And I could feel his heart. I could feel his presence. I thought, this is incredible. You know what I mean? Come by the waters. Come and he reached in and he helped me. I didn't even know what to do. He reached into the waters and lifted it up to me. And I thought to myself, this is extraordinary that you can be with him in the secret place. Not just meaningless repetition, but prayer that will actually bring you into an experiential walk with Christ. That you will walk with him, you will talk with him, he'll hold you. He'll hold your hand. You could come up and be embraced. When that song came out, "Arms of Love," my gosh, that was a number of years ago. That really had extraordinary revelation in his arms of love. How many people got the arms of love around you during that time? Arms of love. This is building what? Your entire basis of your security, your confidence, your well-being in him. Your entire person and health of who you are is in him. And he took me, and another time, the Lord took me, and I looked, and I was standing up on the edge, looking down into pool, a beautiful, crystal clear pool. It was coming out of rock, almost at the base of a mountain. I said, "What's this?" He said, "These are the pools of refreshing. These are the springs." Now, in New Zealand, we have many springs that are crystal clear. They come out of deep aquifers, out of the ground. And this was literally crystal clear. And I felt the Lord say, "Dive in." So I went, as I dived in, I came under the water. The Lord said, with my eyes open because I could see, he said, "Now open your mouth and breathe." I said, "You can't do that. You can't do that. I'm not a fish. I'm a lifeguard. I'm a swimmer. You cannot breathe water. And you know what I mean? You will drown." The Lord said, "No, open your mouth and breathe." Opened, suddenly living waters came inside my entire being. I then found out a teaching later that when the bride was being prepared, she was taken and put in a baptismal bath, and she was to open her hands, open her eyes, open her mouth, and be immersed in water. Is that true? And as she's immersed, this is the bride being prepared in the Jewish, to be immersed in water. A washing of the presence of the Spirit of God in you, around you, through you. And you also realize that the bridegroom is coming for a bride on a white horse. The scriptures say that you'll be snatched away. Had a dear woman who I was talking to, where is she? About that. She'd had it as a young woman. Could you come up and share that, please?
Yes. Not as a young woman. I didn't come to the Lord until 13 years ago. So it was when I had a CD, and I'm sure most of you have heard it, and it's riding on a white horse, you know, and it is so powerful. This seems to be... Is this reverberating, or is it just me hearing it? Is it okay? Right. And I had a vision of a whole army of warriors, and some of them were dressed in their white outfits as brides. And when I actually saw his eyes like red fire coming and looking at us all. Excuse me. And as it, the song went on, and he was saying, and he came on a white horse for his bride, I had the vision of me standing there, and he came and just swooped me up and put me on the back of his horse.